time. How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. So we have another game today at 1 p.m. West Coast game playing against Oakland. They've been oddly okay this season, so this should be a little bit more competitive than usual against Oakland. But nonetheless, we're talking about Alex Verdugo today. The headlines have been Juan Soto, and everything's been focused on his performance. But Verdugo has quietly been one of the best players on this team over the past 15 days, over the past 2 weeks, really. The last 13 games, this dude is probably number one, number two on this, number two or three on this team in terms of how excellent he's been offensively, of course, behind Soto. We're going to break down those numbers, where Verdugo's production is coming from, why he's being underrated right now. Not many people are talking about him, but I think it's important to show a little bit of love to guys who are not getting much of it from this fan base right now. Of course, everyone's like hyper-focused on Judge's struggles. You know, Volpe's been ice cold. Gleyber Torres has been a liability. Soto's been fantastic. But everyone else has been kind of off on their game, aside from, for whatever reason, Jose Trevino and Oswaldo Cabrera still playing pretty well. But Verdugo was excellent yesterday. He played a big part in that win. Ryan, before we dive into his stats, really what he's contributing in a player that could be one and done based on the fact that they want to spend money on Soto, not Verdugo's long-term extension. How are you feeling today, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Alex Verdugo, and right now, the production you're getting, and we talked about kind of, you know, what are the expectations for Alex Verdugo? Like, if your expectations for him are he needs to be, you know, a super player or represent the American League in the All-Star game or get down ballot MVP votes, then you're kind of, you're doing it to yourself if you're high. And that's not to say Alex Verdugo is a bad player or whatever, but that's to say the Yankees knew that they were acquiring a solid outfielder. And Alex, he's been exactly that. Plus one outs above average on StatCast. I know FanGraphs doesn't have it updated to say that yet, but it is plus one outs above average. He has plus two defensive runs saved. He is instantly the best defensive outfielder we have, right? Like, in left field in a while. Like, he is clearly better than any defensive left fielder we've thrown out there in recent years. The ability to play center field in a pinch is pretty helpful, too, for those late-game substitutions. And, you know, we'll see how he holds up out there, but I think he can do okay. And the offensive production has been really strong. You know, a 127 WRC+, plus, a 348 OBP, a 156 isolated power is pretty strong. Now, as Aaron Boone alluded to in an article by Gary Phillips of the New York Daily News, Gary Phillips, of course, was on this podcast this offseason. Really good writer, really good guy. You know, he was talking about how when Verdugo's really going, he's scoring the ball up more. And the hard hit rates have certainly been lower for Verdugo, but the quality of contact is something I think will come around for him eventually. What I really like is that, number one, Aaron Boone is recognizing that he has to hit the ball harder. I think that kind of indicates that the Yankees' lack of power in recent games is not a product of intent, rather a product of just missing, you know what I mean? I was a little bit worried that a lot of guys on the team were trying to go to an approach that kind of zapped them of their power. And look, Aaron Judge not hitting for power certainly doesn't help. And Gleyber Torres not hitting for power doesn't help because those were your two best home run hitters last year. But I look at the swing decision improvements for Verdugo. And, you know, 10.3 Seager score last year, one of the worst marks in the league, to a 22.9. That's one of the better marks in the league. The zone contact rate, 93.9% to 97.8%. The chase rate, 26.4% to 24.9%. Hittable pitch take percentage, 42.4% to 35.1%. Alex, when he sees a pitch to hit, he's finally just going after it. And I think that's super important. And I think he will convert that into RBI opportunities and convert that to big spots. We saw that yesterday. That it's kind of funny. The best hit ball he had was that rocket to right center field that Rosarena chased down and made a great catch on. But I think those are the kinds of swings. I would like to see him pull the ball in the air a little bit more to right field. His pulled fly ball percentage is right around where it was last year. In fact, it's about 0.3% lower. If he could increase that just a tad bit, that would be great because, Alex, I think this is the type of hitter that can take advantage of that short porch in right field. Again, I look at that fly ball to right center field and go, if you just pull that a little bit more, that's a home run. So, you know, I think Verdugo's been aggressive a little bit more than he has been in years past. You're not going to see it in the zone swing rate. The zone swing rate is barely improved. It's about 4 to 5% better, but I think zone swing percentage is also kind of a flawed metric when we're not accounting that towards how often you're swinging at hittable pitches. Look, a pitch that's called a strike that an umpire poorly calls is going to count as a pitch in the zone because the umpire deems it in the zone. If you don't swing at that, like, can you call that a bad swing decision? If it's 3-0 and you're not swinging at a slider that's perfectly painted on the outside part of the corner, that shouldn't be something that's penalized against you. I don't think that's a bad swing decision. Versus a fastball down the plate where it's a 1-0 count and you're not swinging, that is a bad swing decision. So overall, Alex, I just think that, well, Alex Verdugo has really taken steps forward in terms of his plate discipline and, of course, the defensive value over what we have in left field last year. It leaps and bounds better. We're so much better in left field, and I think that's a big positive here.
It absolutely is. And, you know, as of April 8th, Verdugo was hitting .211 with a .295 OBP, 83 WRC+. Everyone was like, yeah, this guy, maybe he's not so good. I saw people on social media already talking crap about him. Well, let's talk about his last 13 games since then. Verdugo's hitting .357 with a .449 OBP, .571 slugging, has 15 hits, 10 runs, 4 RBIs across 49 plate appearances, and a .201 WRC+. I mean, he's one of the best players on this team right now. He's 101% better than the average MLB hitter during that time span. He has a 12.2% strikeout rate, exactly equivalent to the 12.2% walk rate. He ranks in the 99th percentile in strikeout rate and 97th percentile in whiff rate. This dude has, I mean, based on those metrics over the last 2 weeks, he's been elite in regard to plate discipline. He's not striking out. He's making contact. He's getting on base. The 10 runs tells me he's getting on base, and he's allowing other batters to hit him in, right? The bottom of that half of this order has been excellent recently, picking up the top half, actually, with Judge and Volpe struggling the last couple days, if not weeks, more so for Judge's part. But, you know, you look at this bottom half, they're really generating a lot of production, and Verdugo's at the heart of it. And compared to last year, you know, you're looking at, like, Aaron Hicks, Cabrera, Billy McKinney, Jake Bowers, like, that left field position was just a Russian roulette. Like, any given day, you're blowing your brains out at how boring it was out there. But this year, Verdugo has a perfect fielding percentage. He has 2 defensive runs saved and 2 outs above average, I believe. He has a perfect fielding percentage, as I said, and he's been excellent. You know, this is a guy who had -4 outs above average last year in left field. You know, he's traditionally been about an average, a slightly below average defender there. But in Yankee Stadium, in a contract year, final year of arbitration, not only is he putting together one of his best offensive campaigns, 127 WRC+, which would be a career high right now. Again, small sample size. I do expect things to level out at some point. Defensively, he's been stout. He's made a couple diving catches. Of course, you remember the one in game 1 against Houston. We fight back, line drive to left field. He slides and catches it, and he starts the whole dog narrative a couple days later. So, you know, this is a guy who, in my opinion, isn't just being productive, but he's also bringing a character and a intangible variable catalyst even to this team that we didn't have prior to his arrival. This team was boring last year, man. I mean, how many players actually spoke? How many players had any character, had any emotion? It was boring, man. Like, you watch this team, they were freaking boring. They had their heads low. They couldn't hit. They looked bored out there. They were throwing stuff in the dugout. It was just a ridiculous situation to be in as a Yankee fan. You're watching this team who, most of them are being paid out of their mind, have zero emotion. The only guy you see any emotion from, Nestor occasionally, Gerrit Cole occasionally when he strikes somebody out. And even Wandy Peralta, he would get excited sometimes. But last year, aside from that, this was just a boring-ass team. Verdugo brings a little bit of spunk and a little bit of energy that this team desperately needed, and Harrison Bader kind of offered that, but he was injured so often. You just had major swaths of the season where you didn't have anybody just elevating everybody else with that personality. So the Verdugo kind of dog persona, I love it, man. This team needs guys like this, confidence-riddled players. I mean, just look at Juan Soto, for God's sake. The guy he'll stare you down on 3-2, and he'll walk you. You know, Soto will walk, and he will just get in your head, man. The guy is just, I mean, he's electric, we know this, but Verdugo has been very under the radar over the last couple of weeks, performing at a very high level, and not many people are talking about it. You know, Ryan, when you're looking at his intangible qualities, the personality that he brings, I love it. I think it's great for New York. I think the fans soak it up. What do you think about it? How do you feel about his kind of character and what he's brought in terms of just being kind of this energizer?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, we gotta set the record straight, clear the air. Like, Alex Verdugo has clearly had some issues with Boston, right? Like, in Boston, you know, it was the benchings, it was, you know, not hustling, it was showing up to a game late. Like, those are things that are there. Those are things that happened. They're not narratives, they're not media talking points. Those are things that occurred, right? Like, you can't change the past. But what you can do is try to take steps forward to be a better teammate, to take those experiences and take those failures and try to do better. Look, I don't think I can say that, you know, we've always, you know, we've never had days where we weren't our best or we weren't, you know, the best maybe to other people or whatever it may be. And look, he's a young guy. He's 27. Hopefully those were learning moments for him. And hopefully New York provides him with the kind of atmosphere he needs to be in the right headspace and, you know, make better choices as a teammate. And so far, as you mentioned, he's been great for the clubhouse. He's been an excellent energizer. He's done a really good job of, I think, you know, just being himself and being a little more loose. And, you know, I know it's funny to say that while also talking about how the Yankees have like let him only wear like one or two chains and they told him to shave. And I understand that that's part of, you know, some people have clowned the Yankees for that. Do I like the facial hair policy? That's a different conversation. But in terms of personality, it feels like Verdugo does get to be himself a little bit. I'm not saying that to like downplay what Cora does in Boston. You know, I'm not a player. I don't know what Verdugo was doing and how Cora was trying to handle that. But, you know, I just feel like he's kind of meshed well here. Now, granted, when the team struggles, like, how will he react? What will his mentality be? How will his style of play go? Like, when he's struggling, when it's not going good for him, how will he conduct himself? I feel like he's conducted himself well despite Stretch not playing well. Like, if you think it's open the year, really up until that home run, Alex, he's stunk at the plate, and he was still pretty energetic. That's when the dogs thing started before he really got hot. So, you know, maybe that was just new team, kind of like green, new grass is greener somewhere else. And if you're gonna have a prolonged slump, let's say in August or July, maybe he would be a little more of a malcontent. But he's kind of passed your initial tests, if that kind of makes sense for a teammate. And then I'd also speak to the fact that, you know, the Yankees have had a lot of good things to say about him early on. You know, there hasn't been the lack of hustle. There hasn't been the lack of, you know, the tardiness at the ballpark, stuff of that nature. He seems to be pretty tight-knit with this group. It's interesting. Like, a lot of the newcomers have kind of meshed in pretty well. Think of, like, Stroman and Clark Schmidt. They've immediately grown really close, even though Schmidt has never played with Stroman. They didn't, like, come from the same hometown or whatever. Like, this is their first time really getting to know each other. That's really cool. Like, Weaver is kind of still a new guy, and I feel like he's gelled well with this clubhouse. So, you know, maybe it's a leadership thing, right? Soto has been a great influence in this clubhouse. Maybe it's just a matter of more of a looser environment, right? Like, maybe a guy like a James Rausen, who is a player, and having more former players in the dugout. Because remember, guys, I mean, people forget this all the time with Aaron Boone, because we're also caught up in, like, what he doesn't do and what he doesn't bring and when he does this and when he does that. He's a former player. His dad was a former player. His brother was a former player. I think his granddad was a former player. He's been in baseball his entire life. That dude's a baseball lifer. That guy can talk baseball with anybody. That guy can talk baseball with any player, connect to all those guys. I think that clubhouse kind of is conducive to kind of having a lot of veterans while also promoting some of the younger players. You know, there was a tweet about, like, Luis Gil yesterday where he's glaring the umpire after that balk call at the end of the third inning. And Aaron Boone's kind of like being like, hey, man, come back to the dugout. Like, remember that game with Angel Hernandez where he was kind of like, he was kind of giving Angel Hernandez an attitude. And there was a conversation that they got with Gil as well. So I think this team is well built and well constructed from a personality standpoint to kind of weather the storm of a lot of more eccentric personalities. And then to kind of tie this point back to, like, the offense and Verdugo and his on-field production, you know, the Yankees have been really good. While Aaron Judge has stunk, their two best hitters last year in Judge and Torres have been awful. So bad. Not even close to good. And their best pitcher, the AL Cy Young winner, the best pitcher by a country mile in that rotation, is not here. He's hurt. He's not going to be here most likely until June. You don't have Dominguez. I don't really consider him that big of a loss because you kind of knew you weren't having Dominguez as soon as the season ended. So I don't really want to consider that as a loss. But Alex, the pitching staff's been great. Guys like Verdugo have stepped up and done a job. And, you know, when this team has Aaron Judge and Gleyber Torres clicking, and, you know, you feel confident about Judge clicking at some point, I feel like this team's going to be very good. You know, the rotation's really blown me away, Alex. I know this is not completely related, but, like, I'm just – Matt Blake and the Yankees, like, whenever we think they can't pitch well – they pitch well, right? Like, whatever you're like, they're not going to be able to figure it out. They're toast. The rotation's on fire. No Garrett Cole. They figure it out, right? Oh my God, Aaron Judge is slumping. What do? They have guys like Alex Verdugo step up. So it's the ability to have other guys step up and say, guys, we don't have Garrett Cole right now. We don't have Aaron Judge clicking. What are we going to do? They look calm and collected. Last year, Alex, they looked lost. You remember when they lost Aaron Judge and it was like, they lost to the White Sox in a series. Are you kidding me? Stayed hit like had like a 300 slugging percentage. They forgot how to play baseball without Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge has basically been a ghost for about a week now, and they're playing some really good baseball still. So I think that's really the most impressive part about this team.
Yeah, I don't want to remember those days. I think we should leave those in the past. But no, you're right. This team has a couple of key players missing or underperforming, and they're still one of the best teams in the game, which I think should be a very good thing for Yankee fans. I know a lot of people tend to freak out because it's not going absolutely perfect all the time, but baseball is a game of ebbs and flows. You can't always be great. So think about this. Like, when Aaron Judge starts hitting well and they get Gerrit Cole back, this team is going to be one of the best in the game. And not to mention, we're going to get Lou Trevino, Tommy Canley, and Scott Efrost back at some point this season. You know, you're talking about a number of key essentials returning to this team, or rather, heating up. And I think that that's an underrated, and we don't even have DJ LeMahieu back either. So that'll also be a nice little boost and bonus, and John Birdie's also injured. So, you know, you see this team is going through some issues right now. I'm not really worried at all. I do think this team is going to get increasingly better. With that being said, want to circle back around and say Verdugo's been excellent, really, really enjoying his production lately. He's picked up the bottom half of the order. Jose Trevino, I don't know what the hell he did this past offseason, but the guy just turned into a competent hitter. It could just be a small, lucky sample size. It's totally possible, but we will take it because he has been the key in some of these really close wins the last couple of weeks. So love to see that. Obviously, his defense, he has the best strike rate in the game. I think he is tied for second in catcher framing runs saved, or catcher framing runs. The guy is just absolutely phenomenal defensively. I mean, Jose Trevino, like, just dude's stepping up when you need him most. And that's the sign of a good player. The Yankees still have him under control until 2026, so we love that. But guys, always happy to hear your thoughts below on Alex Verdugo, on some of these guys. Hope you appreciated the nice, in-depth, detailed kind of breakdown of Verdugo, who's been a little bit under the radar, in my opinion, lately. As always, make sure to like and subscribe. Let's go Yankees, and we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.
Perfect.